the escape to Egypt. When they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. "Get up," he said, "take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child and kill him." So he got up, took the child and his mother, and during the night they left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod, and so was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I called my son." When Herod realized that he had been outwitted by the Magi, he was furious, and he gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity who were 2 years old and under, in accordance with the time he had learned from the Magi. Then what was said through the prophet Jeremiah was fulfilled. "A voice is heard in Ramah, weeping and great mourning. Rachel, weeping for her children, was refusing to be comforted because they are no more." After Herod died, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel, for those who were trying to take the child's life are dead." So he got up and he took the child and his mother and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning in Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. Having been warned in a dream, he withdrew from the district of Galilee, and he went and lived in a town called Nazareth. So was fulfilled what was said through the prophets, that he would be called a Nazarene. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Yeah, it's not the reading that you might have expected. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for the whole of the Bible, because your story is in the whole of the Bible, right from the very beginning to the end. And it actually hasn't finished, because we're still here. Thank you. Amen. So I hope you had a good Christmas. You enjoyed celebrating. It was good. Because it all changes. All too quickly things change. And here we are on the other side of Christmas, the dark side. So, we've missed a great chunk. I know Val was desperate to tell us about the wise men. But we've missed that chunk out. And they were an important bit. Our reading starts when they had gone. They were important. And the clue was in that first song we sang this morning. Who were they? Well, they actually weren't kings. And there weren't three of them. They were magi or stargazers. But there were three gifts, which you will automatically know as... Fantastic. And they turned out to be useful sooner than they might have thought. No sooner had these stargazers been there and they'd said hello and worshipped and given the gifts and gone. Mary and Joseph, they settled the toddler Jesus and themselves down for the night and they went to sleep. Did they have a nice sleep? No. They went to sleep and Joseph had instructions in a dream. Amazing man, this Joseph. Never says a word that's recorded anywhere, but he was so obedient. And that very night, he gets his family up and off they go to Egypt. Because otherwise, Jesus is likely to be killed. Escape to Egypt. It's not such a random idea. Egypt had a Jewish settlement, so there was a community for them to join in. Joseph was a carpenter, so he could set up a business. And handily, they just had this gift of gold, so it would help them on their way, help them to set up their business. So off they went. And we don't hear any more about them for a bit, so it must have been okay. Yeah, they went. So back to Herod. And he's standing there and he's going, surely those magi, they should be back by now. They promised to come back to tell me where this new king that they knew about was. He realised he'd been tricked. No, I am the king. There will be no other king. I have worked for my kingship. I have risen through the ranks. There is no other king. So, any boy who might be the suspect will be killed. There will be no other king. And those that know these things reckon that there would have been about 20 boys of 2 years old or less killed by the palace soldiers looking for them, with the parents, the grandparents, the brothers, the sisters watching. Interestingly, the Jewish historians didn't make any special report about this, because compared with the other killings that Herod did, it was fairly insignificant. Amongst many others, he killed a wife, a mother-in-law, two brothers-in-law, and three sons. The historian Josephus said of him, he was of great barbarity to all men equally. So, that was that. Now, there had been another baby boy long, long ago who had to escape because the Jewish boys were being killed. He was put into a river in a basket, and that basket still has his name. It's a... Lovely. I do like this. Moses was a hugely important man in Jewish history. And Matthew is showing this boy Jesus is no ordinary boy. He is something great. And then we get to that bit, Rachel weeping in Ramah. What was that all about? It's a prophecy from the prophet Jeremiah. And Jeremiah wrote about the sorrow of the Jewish people as they were gathered at Ramah before being deported off to Babylon in exile. So Rachel is the mother figure of all Jews. She was Jacob's wife, but she's the mother figure of everyone. And she's weeping from the grave for her descendants. It's a time of national, inconsolable grief. And that was what was happening when these boys were just killed for no reason, apart from the fact that they were 2 years old or under. The Jewish people, they'd had a difficult history, and it continued. This baby Jesus had to flee for his life, become a refugee, find somewhere in a foreign land. God didn't stop the suffering. He allowed Herod to be who he was. But God is in overall charge. He made sure that his saviour of the world was safe. Not by stepping in and swiping Herod out, which I'm sure he could have done if he'd wanted to, but through Joseph, who listened and obeyed. So, Joseph, Mary and Jesus were tucked away safely out of harm's way in Egypt for a few years. That's lovely. So, Joseph, Mary and Jesus were tucked away safely out of harm's way in Egypt. After Herod died, so we don't know how long that was, Joseph had another dream. An angel told him it was okay for him to go back. So, Herod was dead. And so, out of Egypt they went, back to Israel. And that's a hugely significant moment. All that time before, Moses, that chap we spoke about, he'd led the people out of slavery in Egypt to go to the Promised Land. He himself didn't actually get to enter the Promised Land himself. But this is Jesus who is coming out of the place associated with slavery and going not just to Israel, but beyond, much later. When he was a grown-up man, and just before he was killed, he said to his disciples, "I am going to prepare a place for you. I will take you to be with me." That was in John. And at this point, we can enter the story, because Jesus can take us from a place of slavery. Whatever our own personal sinful slavery is, Jesus can take us to the Promised Land, to the new heaven and the new earth that it talks about in Revelation, right at the end of the Bible. So there's a thought to hang on to. But back to Jesus being a baby. There was that Old Testament prophecy, and so was fulfilled. It says it somewhere in our reading. Can't see where it is, but there we go. Verse 23, if anybody wants to know. "Out of Egypt I called my son," and that time it was from the prophet Hosea. So we've got all sorts of prophets telling us about the fact that this story is going to happen. So Joseph and Mary took Jesus back to Israel. We don't know how old he was, a bit more of a more than a toddler, possibly. They'd been in Egypt for a couple of years or so. Herod didn't live that much longer. He was dead. But his son, Archelaus, was reigning in Judea. And he was as bad as his dad, if not worse. So, here we go, God's working again. And Joseph is being very obedient again. An angel went down to tell Joseph and to direct him where to go. So he went not back to Judea, which was where he'd come from there, but back to Galilee and settled in the town of Nazareth. Now, if you're looking for a new home, searching for a lovely place to be, Nazareth was not at the top of the list. And later on in the Bible, you hear Nathanael, one of the followers of Jesus, who said, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" And when Matthew's writing his gospel, a Nazarene was a reference to someone who was despised and rejected. Galilee was looked down upon by the people of Judah, and especially the town of Nazareth. It would have been a bit of a come down for the family, really. What did Mary think? She'd gone from a nice place in Bethlehem of Judea to not such a nice area in Nazareth, which had been their hometown in the first place. And that's where Jesus grew up. Not in an entitled palace background, not the posh end of town, but home from being a refugee to not the best postcode in the country. Definitely the darker side of Christmas. But it's an essential part of the Christmas story. Because if we stay with the manger and the sheep and the shepherds and the angels that we had last week, we were all part of them, we've got the joy and the confidence, and it's all lovely. But we know jolly well it's not like that, because we live in the real world. It's one of challenge, fear. But between those two things, the joy and the confidence, the challenge and the fear, between those two things, we've got Jesus, the Messiah, our Saviour. And what we see from this dark side is a God who's in overall control, who lets people like Herod behave as they do, but behind the scenes is protecting his son through obedient people like Joseph, so that the Messiah can grow and fulfil his mission of being Saviour of the world. Saviour of the world. That's us, as well as everybody else. But that's important to, you know, people talk about Saviour of the world, but that includes us. And during his lifetime, Jesus experienced what it was like to be a refugee, to come from a place that was looked down on, to be one of the workers, not a posh background. He knows what it's like. So yes, parts of life are wonderful. You know, don't forget the crib scene and all the fantastic stuff we had last week. We don't want to be too despondent. Life has its really good bits. But it's also true, life has its really crummy bits. Bits that really aren't fair. It's a seesaw. Angels and shepherds, slaughter of the innocent boys. And if we don't have the anchor or the pivot point that holds those two together, we'll be all over the place. So what we can know, what we need to remember, is that God is in overall charge, that he will let people be who they are, but he will also work through his obedient children like Joseph, and that Jesus is the centre of it all, our representative who knows what being a person living on earth is like. So, when life is being hard and wintry, hold on. If something you're trying to do is like chipping through stone, hold on. Jesus did come to earth for us, and God is in control. Amen.